that's happening now is I can announce actually two really cool people next to me, and they're actually from the Challenger Cyber. It's actually an organization who is actually trying to give the younger hackers a lot of, how do you say it, the skills, the settings and the network to actually get everything done that they want to do and get from their interest probably a profession, if I'm saying it right. I'm giving the words to those two wonderful gentlemen, and enjoy the talk. Yeah.
Hi everyone, thank you so much for being here. My name is Jasper, I'm together here with Per. So I'm actually from the organization of Challenger Cyber, and I will tell you something about what our organization is and what it does. It will be fun, but Per is here for the true content of the talk, because he is one of the participants of our program and one of our hackers, and he's going to tell you something, how CTF can playing CTF challenges can lead to, finding real-world vulnerabilities, which is, I think, the most exciting part.
Yes, it is.
First, I'm going to tell you something about what our organization does. So actually, we're based in the Netherlands. We are a non-profit organization, a stichting, and we are run by volunteers. And our goal is to aim for more, better, and more diverse young cybersecurity talent. And we do that using Capture the Flag competition, so a gamified way of learning cybersecurity. And I think it's a lot of fun, and we organize that from the bottom up. So we do that with people who play Capture the Flag competitions themselves, and they organize it for their peers. It makes it a lot of fun. So what does our program in practice look like? We have like a beautiful year-round calendar with a couple of activities that a lot of people can join in for. Starting with, I can't see the screen, doesn't work. Starting with Team Superflat, they organize online, you can play with them online CTF competitions and learn from them, learn from each other. And we have also some other activities that you can play year-round online to practice, as it were, for our, amongst others, second activity in the year, and that is the annual Capture the Flag competition. We organize that on location for around 150 participants up until the age of 25 years old. It's a lot of fun. We even have, it looks a bit like this, we have a large location. We're going to play on-site Capture the Flag competition. And I think a really fun part of this is that people can really connect with each other and form little communities. And of course, every year we even have our own hardware badge. And of course, our activities are free for everyone. So there's literally no reason to not join our events. From that, we actually funnel a little bit into our cyber boot camp. So we select... there it goes, a lot of fancy animation. So we select approximately the best 40 hackers from that event to participate in our cyber bootcamp. We just finished a couple of weeks ago, and it's just a week long. A lot of companies will give workshops to our participants. They will learn from each other, play CTFs, and get better along the direction to becoming a cybersecurity professional in the end. And even that is also a little bit... this is one of the pictures. We had around 35 participants each year. A lot of fun. Some of them are actually here in the room. Maybe they can cheer a little bit for us. That's very nice. And during that cyber bootcamp, we also select for the Dutch national team. And the Dutch national team will then participate. It's a team of 10 top players. They will train and participate in the European Cybersecurity Challenge. That's a challenge between European countries, and it will take place once a year. This year we will go to Poland in October to play the CTF competition there with our team. So it will be a lot of fun, and it's also a means for them to meet also on an international atmosphere, other players, people, and have a lot of fun as well. So that's actually the interesting part, because next to me is Per, and Per is one of the players from the Dutch national team this year and also some years in the past. So I hand the word to you for like a deep dive in what that could look like.
Thanks, Jasper.
Self.
Okay. Hey, everyone. All right. Knock it off. Okay. So I'll tell you a little bit about the CTFs we would do. This beautiful. This is Jeopardy CTF. There's a board with a bunch of different challenges, and there's a bunch of different. It's small. You want something bigger? Okay. This one is more abstract. This is the CTF they have at Y2025. And there's a bunch of different, you're not supposed to be able to read it, but there's a bunch of different challenges and different categories where you have to use your cyber knowledge to prove your cyber knowledge to obtain secret codes, flags. And there's different categories, and we're doing pretty well as the Superflat team, but we still haven't solved some Pwn challenges, but in 15 minutes we'll have the Pwn 500. All right. Then, apart from Jeopardy challenges, where you just sit down with one file or one executable and you try to hack it on your own, you're not trying to hack anybody else, we also have attack defense style CTFs, where instead of just hacking one thing, you're trying to hack other teams, and you're trying to make sure that your team is not getting hacked. So you're trying to make exploits and also defend. And this is way more dynamic, way more active. There's a lot going on. And we would like to tell you a little bit about the tooling and the trickery that goes into playing attack defense CTFs. So during attack defense CTFs, there's a lot that can happen. And here we have a little example, a Dutch example of when Log4j happened and everything looked vulnerable, and in attack defense CTFs, everything is vulnerable. So you have to shut down preemptively sometimes your services. Sometimes it's a good thing to just take down your own network just to not get hacked in certain CTFs. And I'd like to take you along with the different kinds of tooling we use. What's happening?
I'm adjusting your mic a little better.
All good? Yeah? All right. So during attack defense CTFs, a big part of playing is having good tooling. And that's tooling for three different categories. You want to attack people, you want to destroy their services, and you want to see how they're attacking you. And you want to defend, you want to make sure that when they're trying to attack you, you're knowing what they're doing, but they can't really attack you that well. You stop it as well. Three main categories, very important. Let's start off with the offensive, the attacking side. So during attack defense CTF, everyone has the same services running. They have a little program, and there's it's a program that's made to be vulnerable. So the organizers, they make a little program, and they just add in a little tiny pieces that don't work quite as they're supposed to. And you're supposed to find that, exploit that on other teams, and make sure it doesn't happen to you. And you want to do that over and over. So during attack defense CTF, you want to, every couple minutes, a new round starts, and then new secret codes are uploaded, and you want to prove that you still have a working exploit, so you want to get those secret codes. And there's a bunch of different tooling to make sure that the second or the millisecond that a new code gets uploaded to someone's system, you can exfiltrate that and get the flag. So there's a bunch of different tooling that goes into really optimizing how you're attacking people. Shout out Jonathan. And we also have very important tooling to make sure that when you are being attacked, that everything that's happening to you over the network is being logged. And then you can see what other teams are doing to try to attack you. We have our beautiful program Tulip. It's loaded here. And Tulip is the beautiful program that parses all the network traffic and lets you search through everything with custom flags. And there's a tool called Suricata, which parses all your network traffic, and it can do detection, like, does this look sussy, or even drop packets. And we integrate that with Tulip to get tags. One really useful tag is sometimes during a CTF, when players are making accounts, they will call it Hans or AZF. That's very common. So we have the rules for that. So whenever there's AZF in a packet, it'll show up and it'll seem sussy. So you can filter on those, and you can see people exploiting you. And one nice thing about being able to log all the traffic is that you can also steal other people's exploits. And that's the most fun part about attack defense CTFs, is that you don't have to think. You just press a little button in oh, animation didn't work. Okay, wait. Oh, okay. Here it says copy to Pwn Tools. And then basically, whatever is being sent, it copies it into a script, and then you can run that script against other teams automatically. And that's one of the best ways to, even with very few people, still win or perform well in an attack defense CTF, because you're just stealing other people's exploits. And then the main thing we want to talk about today is the defensive tooling. I mentioned Sudikata a little bit, and Sudikata is used for custom firewall rules. And you can drop packets, you can filter on packets. And one thing is that we were preparing for the ECSC, the competition, and we wondered, okay, if everyone's using all these tools, what can we do to maybe crash their tools or make sure that their tools don't work that well? So there's always this back and forth between all the teams of trying to get new exploits on tooling. So if you know that other teams are using Wireshark to analyze all your network traffic, then you can try to find exploits in that and maybe find like a JSON bomb that'll crash their little blue screen, their whole system, or do some weird traffic that doesn't quite get parsed well. So the tooling, it looks like it's a normal message, normal thing going on, but secretly you're actually sending exploit code. And while preparing for the competition, some smart people in our team were thinking, okay, what if we can bypass Sudikata? So a lot of teams will be using Sudikata to detect sussy stuff. What if we can do some tricky business to bypass all their detections? So they started thinking with their big brains, and they went to the TCP RFC, and they just looked up, okay, what are some weird TCP flags? And out of that, they were able to, I don't know if you can read this. Can people read this? We have a sort of request smuggling, but instead of smuggling, it's just hiding it. Because we're doing the Sudikata sees one thing, and the actual request is a whole other thing. And then we can bypass Sudikata, and we do that through the TCP urgent flag by sending, there's a weird thing in TCP where you can say like, hey guys, this part is really important, only look at this. And it's a little flag, urgent. And using that, you can trick Sudikata into thinking, hey, this part is important. Well, actually, it's not important. And that was the first thing that popped up on Google. Some people tried to implement it, and they saw that, hey, Sudikata is not detecting this anymore, because it was just kind of skipping it or adding it while it shouldn't be added. So you could add in characters or whole bytes. And then you can make web requests like this, which doesn't look very, very nice. Complete gibberish. So when you're trying to analyze this in an attack defense scenario, you're going there sitting, how are they making a GET request? How are they getting my codes? But it actually is just a completely valid request. Or you can even go even more extreme, add in so much stuff that they can basically never decipher what's going on until they start really going into deeper tools and seeing, oh, they're using weird TCP flags that Suricata doesn't understand. And then for the CTF, we had a cool thing working, but then we also wanted to, of course, make it pretty. So people started working on getting ASCII art to be sent inside of attacks. So it would be a normal GET request, but this is what we would see. You would see the windmill, and you'd know you would have been pwned by the Dutch team. And then, of course, this was a zero day that we discovered just before the competition. We wanted to use it in the competition. But also, we wanted to be responsible. So we emailed the people at Suricata, and we told them about it actually before the competition, because we knew that they wouldn't fix it in just a couple days. And now the name Team Superflat has been thanked for the CVE. So that's pretty cool. Then we used it, of course. Did we win? Did we win? No, but we got pretty close. We got third out of all the teams, which is pretty impressive, right?
Very impressive. From like 35 countries, something like
that? A lot of countries. A lot of countries. Even Kosovo was there. It was very good. That begs the question. This is all very cool, but how can you guys participate?
That's an excellent question. So if we look back at the beginning, I sketch a little bit of a schedule that we do year round. So currently we are kind of here in this phase. So the Dutch team is training for them going to the ECSC in Poland this year. But after that, our world program starts again. We do that every year. So that means that you can also participate in our program and come with us to these great events. Well, how, you might ask? So for example, in this phase, the online practice phase, you can join a couple of things. There is a QR code, but in the end, we also have a website where you can find everything. So don't worry. But we have like a trainings mission, we call it. There you can practice some CTF challenges that we've used in our national competition and qualifiers, which is a lot of fun. So you can prepare yourself and challenge yourself a bit to see if the challenges will be solvable by you. And then it's a lot of fun because we talked about Team Superflat, but this is actually not a limited group of people. This is an open team, so everyone can join us while playing CTF. So you can just register on our Discord and play along with us, with the Dutch team and other very talented people, and learn from them. So I would advise you, if you like this kind of stuff, QR codes are being scanned very well. If you like this kind of stuff, join the Discord. You can just see if you like it. Sometimes we also organize physical meetups to play some of the CTFs that are online and work together on that. So it's a great opportunity, I think, to learn. But even better, and a lot more fun, I think, is the national competition, because that's open for everyone. So you can join if you're up until the age of 25 years old. And that will happen in teams of up to 4 people. So you can invite some of your friends to play along with you, or just sign up and we will place you in a team with other people who are looking for a team to participate in. And as I already mentioned, it's totally free. And of course, we have a cool badge and other goodies as well. So there's really no reason not to join. So I want to quickly in the audience, just who are under the age of 26 from our audience? Can you see some hands? I see a couple of hands. Very well, yeah. Well then, very simple, just check challengethecyber.nl and you can participate in our event, join Team Superflat, and also join, of course, our national CTF, which will be a lot of fun. Will be held in approximately April or May next year, so you have some time still to prepare. And who's over 25 from the audience? Can I see some hands? Very well. Well, you might think, well, I cannot join the CTF. Well, that's not entirely true, because we're also looking for volunteers, sponsors, and everyone who can help us out, for example, by building challenges or organizing workshops, for example, which is a lot of fun. So you too can be part of Challenges Cyber. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening to our presentation. You can find a lot of the information on challengescyber.nl. There's also the link to the Discord, to our events, and you can add yourself to the mailing list there, and we will send you an email when the date is published for our event. So with that, I would like to thank you. And I think there's time for some questions. Yeah.
Hello. 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 Oh, okay. Okay. Hi, my name is Jilles, and I really like this initiative. I am proud to have been a part of it in some way. What I want to stress out is that. Okay, perfect. What I want to stress out is that the organization of the event are like the best people in the industry. I have worked with them, and the people attending are like the people in the major industry. So not only are you able to learn something, you can also like sniff all the different companies in the world. So it might be also good for like your future career. And being there is like really, really awesome. So congrats for doing this.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I have no words besides thank you so much also for your contributions to our program. And we have a lot of fun as well preparing everything. So thank you so much. Maybe some more questions?
Two at once. Yeah. I'm going to start here, and then I'm
going
to go to you.
So you mentioned the tool Tulip, but this is probably not a tool that a vendor just makes and sells. So who is building it?
I think that's a question for you, Per.
I don't know. Does anyone in the audience know? We have people in the team always working on different parts of tooling. So we have Rick, who made the Tulip, and we have people working on tooling to send beautiful ASCII art to obfuscate payloads, or people working on sending, making sure that the sending of exploits is perfectly optimized. And we have people working on all kinds of tooling. Especially when the competition is near, we start working on more tooling.
And I even think, I can look to that side of the audience as well, that it's open source right now, right? So people can also look it up on the internet, try it out themselves. And if you have more questions, maybe for the authors of the software, then feel free to stick around and ask them some questions maybe afterwards. But it's a lot of fun. So it's specifically designed for CTF competitions as well, which I think is really cool.
I have a question for Per. So how did you get into CTFing, and what do you love the most about it?
Ah, that's a good question. I thought you were going to ask about my tattoo and where you can get them. You can ask Maya. That's also a good question. I got into CTFing. I was studying at I was finishing up my bachelor's at the VU in Amsterdam, and then there was this rando who was giving a cryptography workshop. And I joined that, and it was kind of fun. And then he kind of got me into the whole CTF sphere. He was already familiar with Challenge to Cyber, and he got me into that. And since I was already busy with computer science and stuff like that, I really liked it, and I guess I didn't look back. So it's all thanks to Aiden.
Okay, thank you very much for the talk, gentlemen.